got that.
First time we've been able to look at this distance and see a real discernible difference in the Maya materials, but this is really kind of a classic, I think, there. You can see the flows. And also, if you take a look, I'll try to zoom some more on the Maya on the left. You can see some of the darker material near the upper edge of that where it's flowing in there.
Roger.
Okay, that's a picture we have now. You can see we're probably blowing our way out close to 3,000 miles now. It's still a beautiful view. In fact, just looking at it, you recollect that we've come a long ways in a few years. You can just imagine where we're going to go in a few more years, over.
Roger that, Tom.
Again, I just want to check the resolution of this camera and zoom in on Censorinus and the landing site where Apollo 11 will land, and I'll go back and zoom in on that again, over.
Roger.
Okay, there's Censorinus. Over here is the crater Mulkey, pardon me, Masculine B. We come down here to a little bright crater there. It's right near the tip of the Oklahoma foothills there. It's called Mulkey, and to the left, right in this area, is the landing site where Apollo 11 should land. Over.
Okay, we got them all, Tom. They're coming through real good.
Boy, right now it's like watching it through a telescope. That's fantastic.
And right in the center of your screen is the landing site, and again, you can see the hills on the other side down in this area. But the approach is very well marked by Censorinus there on one side, and the lead in there from the two Masculine craters, over.
Roger. We're getting real good resolution down here, Tom.
Okay. I guess we've been up nearly 24 hours now, but the view is so great, I don't think we're going to go to sleep for a few more hours, over.
Okay, you understand, Tom.
Just looking at this is about the best go feel you can ever have, over.
Roger.
Langrenus here for you. It's a pretty interesting crater in reflected sunlight at the moment.
Okay, what you have there is a crater Langrenus, and again, that is somewhat on the path that leads up to the Apollo landing site number 2 that comes right down this way. There you have the other craters, and there's Messier. Comes on down across, there's the crater Weatherford, and Mount Maryland down to Censorinus, and comes right on over into Mulkey and the landing site.
Good. Very good tour.
Yeah, John sort of explained it here a second ago for us all. He said he can't believe what he's seeing, and we really can't. We just can't believe what we're seeing. I tell you, Joe, this satellite of ours, this moon of ours, had a rough beginning somewhere back there.
Roger, understand, Gene.
Yeah, it's really a privilege to sit. It's really a great privilege for us to sit here, and as the spacecraft moves radially outward, and look at it, to be able just to share some of our views here with you, over.
Copy that. Thank you.
important thing about that camera, Joe, is what you're seeing is happening, and what you haven't seen ain't happened yet.
Roger.
All three of us are commenting again for the scientific interest about the difference in color on that one Maria area that I pointed out to you there as soon as I saw it, and it's really becoming pronounced now. The basic Maria area, and I'm going to zoom in again, is like a chocolate brown at the sun angle, and over to the left is like a, it's like a tannish brown. And again, I'll zoom in to see how it looks to you, Gordon. Okay, there you are, and I hope the colors come out the same to you, the same as we see them here, and you can see the discontinuity there by those two craters, over.
Roger. That looks great, Tom, just like you're describing it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Houston, this is Apollo 10. All three of us are commenting again about this fantastic view out here, and how it's probably just as well that we approach this thing at nightside where you can't see it, because if we approached at this angle coming in, you'd really have to shut your eyes. Over.
Right, I understand.
You know, I wasn't really skeptical when we were coming in. I just said I believe all that targeting when I saw 60 miles, and I'm a believer, and you got one on me, but boy, I tell you, if we were going forward now, it'd be a different story.
Roger.
Along that line, I want to congratulate you on that 5-degree wind mark. It was perfect.
Okay, good copy.
Apollo 10 now 2,700 miles from the moon.
Apollo 10, you know, you've often heard of the nursery rhyme about the man in the moon. We didn't see one there. There was three men around the moon, and pretty soon we hope that there's three men, probably there'll be two men on the moon, one circling, but as far as seeing a man in the moon directly, we just didn't see it this time, over.
Okay, Tom, thank you.
And we were looking, too.
Roger.
If there were any people down there, they'd have a lot of rocks to play with.
It won't be long now. It's Snoopy's descent stage. You'll be there with a big red, white, blue American flag on it, though.
Roger that.
Houston, for just a quick break here, we want to be able to show you as we're slowly slowing down now as we leave the moon. You've seen a fantastic sight. We want to just take you inside the cockpit, say hello for a minute, and then when we come back out, we should be able to see the, really get a better view of the moon there with respect to having a whole sphere, over.
Okay, mighty fine. We're standing by, Tom. Okay, your picture's coming in real good, real clear.
Hello, everybody.
Said, well, the view outside is fantastic. Inside here, you look like about three scroungy characters, but we really feel great. And it's been a fantastic trip. Over.
Roger, Tom. You guys looking mighty good in there.
Roger, you got any color on us in here?
Roger that. The color's real good inside.
Well, we feel great. We felt great ever since liftoff, and it's been a fantastic voyage. In just a minute, we'll turn the camera around and show you John. Over.
Roger. Who's winning the beard growing contest in there?
Well, I don't know. For sure, John's got the mustache one. I don't know about the beard.
I'm the baby of the group, Joe.
Okay.
Here, let me show you John.
John's got a little blue ink on his fingers.
I was writing a letter and I broke my pen. Does it show up in living color?
Open your hand up again. Yeah, it sure does.
How about that? Well, you can see we're pretty happy. You see we're pretty happy about this whole business.
Roger that. Sure looks good to see you again.
Roger that. Sure looks good to see you again.
So,
what are you
doing? We got your message on the blue dye, John.
All right, you got to watch when you ride a lot with blue pens. And we're going to take you back outside now and show you the moon as we see it, over.
And we have a view from 3,000 miles.
Okay.
So the moon is starting to lose its spherical shape. It's becoming oblong now with the Terminator, with us moving around into the area of the Terminator.
Roger, we're showing that on our screens down here.
You know, looking at the Earth Terminator and the Moon Terminator is the only way we can figure out which is up and which is down. And sometimes they don't agree.
Well, for you people that aren't in the space flight business, I say it sure is fantastic and you really ought to try it.
Thank you, John. I hope to someday.
Apollo 10, it appears that the tube... Roger, Joe. Houston, it appears that the tube is starting to saturate when I go to full zoom. Everything is gathering in too much light. It's coming back normal from the sun's rays. Are you getting that on your screen, over?
No, we're still getting a real good picture down here, Tom.
Okay, I'll go back to full zoom and just hold it there for a little bit.
Joe, I've always believed that nothing is impossible, and now I'm convinced of it, and I hope that what we're doing here and what's going to go on in the future is going to be something that's going to be a betterment to all mankind. I'm convinced of that.
Roger that.
Houston, how does your picture look now? Are you saturated all over?
Roger, we're starting to get saturated now, Tom.
Okay, it appears probably when I go to the wide angle, not to, to zoom it, that it starts to saturate a little bit, so I'll keep it down to lower at this time.
Roger, it's a whole lot better now.
Notice now we can really start to notice near the horizon how rugged it is. It's, you see the little peaks sticking up on it? Over.
Roger, we can pick those out.
Houston, the moon is, as we move away, it's, as our velocity slows down, the moon is starting to grow less in diameter relative as far as our visual view. So what we'll do is terminate the TV now, and then we'll bring it back on in a little while after we get squared away here and show you a little bit better distance view. Over.
Okay, mighty fine, Tom.
Okay, and... this is Apollo 10 signing off for a while. We'll be back in about 30 or 40 minutes and see how it looks then. Over.
Okay, 10, this is Houston. We'd like to dump a tape now, and we'd like to keep the high-gain antenna while we do that.
Yes, sir. Will this attitude be okay, Joe?
Roger, that'll be fine.
At the conclusion of that television transmission, Apollo 10 was about 3,390 nautical miles from the moon. The trans-Earth injection maneuver, which started the spacecraft back to Earth, as you heard early in the television transmission, was very close to nominal. The maneuver is targeted to bring Apollo 10 back to Earth at a ground elapsed time of 192 hours, 4 minutes, or just 4 minutes, 8 days and 4 minutes after liftoff from Cape Kennedy. At the present time, the spacecraft is traveling at a speed of 6,046 feet per second, and we show 3,436 nautical miles from the moon.
There's no restraint on the thermal world.
Okay, real fine. Thank you, Joe. Over.
Okay, 10, this is Houston. You can have the computer back now. Your rest mat is in.
We've had the computer for quite a while.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I hope. Because we've been playing with it.
You're right.
Houston, it's 10.
Go ahead, 10.
Listen, we're flirting with 26 to 26 and a half volts up here pretty regularly right at the moment.
Roger, we copy.
We're gonna see if we can bring it up a little bit. We got the DDC power off, or the DCA power rather, and a couple other things, and we'll watch it. But I just wanted to know that, wanted you to know we're looking at a low 26 and a half.
Roger, we copy. We'll look at it.
And I guess we're up to about 27 now, so we're probably in pretty good shape.
Okay, Ken, I'm going to turn you over to the Marines now. I'll see you a little later.
Roger, Joe. Thanks a lot for all the help there on Capcom. Coordination's real great. We'll see you back in Houston probably next Tuesday, over.
Boy, roger that. You're right in the groove.
Thank you, Joseph. Charlie Brown, you want me to put my high bit rate to low?
Stand by one. Affirmative, Apollo 10, put your high bit rate to low. Apollo 10 Houston, we're going to keep the configuration we've got until we get C-52 finished and the dump finished, over. I think we can do that. Stand by.
I've got some onboard readouts for you.
Roger, go ahead, 10.
Okay, Bat C is 37, Pyro A is 37, Pyro B is 37.
Roger, understand Bat B.
BSA is 55, B is 70.
Apollo 10.
BSA is 55%. Okay, I'm ready now. RCSA is 55, B is 71, C 66, D is 63%. Over.
Roger, Apollo 10, we copy 37, 55, 71, 66, 63, and you can do your P-52 in the present attitude and go right from there to PTC, over.
Okay, P-52 in present attitude and right from there to PTC. As it says on page 94 of our flight plan, we can tell we're returning because we're facing the other way. A phrase by that one famous dog. Houston, our condenser exhaust temperature is cycling again between the limits, and I think it just triggered a quick master alarm. On fuel cell 2, but it's cycling again just like it was in lunar orbit.
Roger, 10, we copy.
This is Apollo. This is Apollo Control. We're estimating about 15 minutes for the change of shift press briefing as the maroon team of flight controllers goes off shift. Participants will be standby.
Okay to realign to PTC right now.
Standby, one. Apollo 10, Houston, go ahead with your PTC alignment.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control to pick up again on the press conference. Participants will be Maroon Team Flight Director Milton Wendler, Spacecraft Communicator Joe Engel, Astronaut Geologist Jack Schmidt. They're estimating about 15 minutes arrival at the main auditorium here at Manned Spacecraft Center. We rejoin the air-to-ground communications between Apollo 10 and Mission Control.
Apollo 10, Houston, we'd like you to turn on your fuel cell 2 H2 purge line heater, over.
Yeah, I've had the H2 purge line heater on about 5 minutes now, Jack.
Roger, Gene.
And I'm planning an H2 in an open purge at about 140, is that correct? Or 139.30?
Stand by. That's affirmative, Gene. 139.30, purge fuel cells.
Okay, thank you, Jack. I assume not fuel cell one, though. Is that correct? Just two and three?
Gene, just purge two and three, not one. Over.
Thank you, Jack.
Houston, Apollo 10, confirm that this is an option one realigned.
Houston, Apollo 10, say again.
Roger, confirm that this is an option one platform realigned.
Stand by one.
I'm sure it is, I just want you to make sure.
Okay, John, that's an option one confirmed.
Roger.
Hello, Jack. I got some rad readings.
Go ahead with the rad.
Commander is 26042. Champ is 05311. And I'm 15043.
Roger. Copy. 26042, 05311, 15043. Thank you.
And negative on the pills.
Roger, copy.
And the bands have been cycled.
Roger. Apollo 10, Houston.
Yeah, we're going through the regulator check at this time.
Roger, we copy.
Go ahead.
Yes, we'd like to know, did you turn the GDC off by going to ECA, over?
Roger, we turned it off and then turned it back on here since we're going to do this IMU realign, over.
Roger, understand, off and then on. Thank you.
Yep. We just want to check again how much increased our voltage and after we get the IMU completely torqued around, then I'm going to turn the GDC ECA power to ECA, over.
Okay, Tom.
This is 10. When I start up the secondary glycol pump, I get a mini bus, say, undervolt. Probably is a transient, but I turn it off at this time.
Roger, we copy.
I'm sure it's a startup transient, but I haven't tried it again, so recommend we just delete it. It did start up. An evaporator, secondary evaporator, has been working well. Do you... should we delete that test, or should we give it a try?
Stand by one, we'll check. Apollo 10 Houston, delete the secondary loop check, over.
Very good, thank you, Jack. Thank you.
This is Apollo Control. Something in the nature of a gee-whiz number. At the time of the trans-earth injection burn, Apollo 10 was some 211,373 miles away from Earth on the backside of the moon. The change of shift press briefing is scheduled to begin momentarily in the main auditorium. Air-to-ground Apollo 10 transmissions will be picked up at the conclusion of the press conference, and at 139 hours, 13 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control.